card to us. I was saying to Stefan in some email correspondence, although I don't know which Stefan it was, actually.
I was.
Was it you?
Yeah.
I think some of the, I was going to talk about some of the frustrations when newsrooms meet coders. Often, the one way that newsrooms know how to get data is freedom of information or wobbing or RTI. But often journalists don't request the data in spreadsheet format. They often only ask for the data for the story that they have in mind, which makes sense to the journalist, but it's very limiting in all sorts of ways. So they might just ask for one number, right, like how many people have, or how much have you spent on temporary staff, for example, rather than a very specific breakdown, so you can drill down into that a bit more. Too much of my time is spent converting data from PDFs, dealing with data that's not detailed enough, and various other merging data in ways that it shouldn't have to be done. And then on the flip side, I'm conscious that journalists, if you just give them a lump of data, they're not necessarily going to know what to do with that. So there's one particular project I worked on late last year where I scraped a bunch of data on local authorities in Scotland, and it's an absolute goldmine of stories, but I created a table and some calculations so that journalists could just pick what they wanted to look at, and it would automatically tell them what's the pattern over the last few years of whatever it was, executive pay was one, which particular authority had gone up the most or dropped the most and things like that. So that's just a couple of things.
You continue.
No, I feel like, I think this should be rather like discussion,
right?
Because like the at least this is how I see it, like the question is, like there are a couple of questions posted also on the content of this panel. It's like, should coders learn to
right?
So should journalists learn to code?
Yeah.
And should, so.
Well, you're a coder. So
yes.
As a journalist, I don't know. We had this.
So before I start, I would like to know my audience. So I would like to know what kind of language I have to use, and I think it would be good to like start from the front.
I'm a student. I'm already writing my master thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really concerned about the quality of the data sets provided by governments and administration within open data projects. So I'm going to ask you a few questions about what can be done with it. It has already been discussed here yesterday. And I'm not a journalist, but I'm studying to be a data architect. That's it.
Hi, my name is Ivar Holmer Engelsen. I'm from the online magazine Denmark. I'm here because I'm curious to hear what your experiences are in terms of collaboration between coders and journalists, because very often, at least in my media, we try to do all the things ourselves, and then sometimes we'll have a cooperation with a coder, for instance. But I find that cooperation is kind of difficult because you come from different worlds. So I'm curious to hear what your experiences are in terms of cooperating.
Hi, I'm Turo from Finland, senior research scholar from the University of Jyväskylä, doing research on innovations in journalism, and data journalism is one of those new streams. I met Paul, I think, in January in Birmingham, and that was a good start for our research, to try to understand what's data journalism actually. So this is part of that journey.
Mm-hmm. I am Kimmo, also from Finland. I work in a team of 9 people where there's 8 very good journalists and then me. So, well, I have a journalist background, a bit of journalist background myself, but I haven't worked as a journalist in like 10 years or more. But instead, doing tools for journalists, mostly like web publications, I do the content coding and stuff.
I think we should make him speak for the rest of the session.
He works for Roleplay, I advertised for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth making that distinction at the top, is that there's coders working with journalists on the publication and the front end in terms of how people interact with a story or the content. And then there's coders working with journalists to get information in the first place. And I think there's an increasing interest in the front end stuff now, whereas previously it was more about
I find myself like this huge space between journalists and the audience, the user. It's like how to communicate the ideas of the audience to the journalists and vice versa, in a as transparent way as possible.
Well, I have different perspective on this because we don't have money, so basically we have being an investigative center, which is a non-profit, we don't have an operational budget in Romania like other centers have in the US, and whatever we want to do, we either do it because we have some time to invest in it, or we propose we send a proposal for grant that might come or might not come. And so my solution to the collaboration with coders was, because in the last 12 years we had to collaborate with coders as we had to build tools to scrap things, we had to collect information and build our own databases, we got our hands on various databases sort of illegally, and then we had to reconstruct them, and so it was a need to do that. And I realized that this must be a sort of long-term relationship with a group of people like us, like the journalists. So what we did, we established this media lab, where it's sort of a playing ground, where we meet with coders, not only with coders, but mainly with coders, with some activists related to free speech, and we play around tools and problems and solutions. So we bring our problems, they find some solutions, and they have some tools, and they ask us how they can use it. And the very important thing is that we found a few organizations of coders, basically. It's not a few persons. So this Media Lab, it's a joint cooperation between our NGO and a few other NGOs. And one of these NGOs, it's a free software foundation. The other one, it's an organization of students in computer science. So that's bringing new people all the time, basically, and people who are interested in playing around. They don't look necessarily for a job.
So when we are talking about like journalism course, I mean, do not read that. It's small on purpose. Just like the information of this slide is too many boxes, right? I'm going to explain soon. We are talking about like journalists and coders. And I would like to, I'm coming from this tech side, so my question is like, what's the coder? What's the tech person? Because it can be like anything, and there are so many, and you can't find the... This is also available as a PDF for A3. So I will explain what it is. And thing is, this is actually a data processing pipeline. Here is the like simplified version. So when you're working with data, I'm going to repeat what I was talking about yesterday just to clarify, so we can then focus what the coder means, what kind of coders the journalist should get connected with. So if you're working with data, you start with sources, you do some extraction transformation of the data, and then you do data analysis and presentation of those front ends, and you have these nice charts and things. This is being guarded by processes called data governance, and they are using technologies to do that, right? The problem is that many people think that it looks like this. Like this. So you just get the data, use some tools, and do data analysis. And that's it, right? But and this picture shows like how many different I don't know how to call it, like topics are there, like things you have to do before you get from sources, which might be like web pages, databases, PDFs, whatever, documents, to the nice charts. Mm-hmm. So when you have these, first part is discovery and acquisition. It's area by itself, how to extract the data, how to do the scrapers, that you have specialists only in this area, and they know how to crawl the web, how to get the data outside of the PDFs. I cannot do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do like automated OCR. But there are people who do that. But he's coder, I'm coder. It's like, let's get a coder. If you get me, I wouldn't be able to do that for you, right? So that's an it's also extraction and this was discovery. It was like more like crawling, like find where I should go for data. Extraction is I already know the places. I already know the part of the web which I should start to scrape, and then just do scraping. How I'm going to create a scraper? How I'm going to parse those PDFs and documents and extract the actual data from that? How I'm going to make it automated? It's like I would like to do that like every 5 minutes. I would like to do that like on a daily basis, and it's different process to do that like manually like that. And you need different kind of person to do that. And there is this huge part which is this the biggest part is ignored most of the time in the open data area. People just ignore this the biggest part, which is cleaning, transformation, and integration of data. And you have things like, you have things here just like, how to put like two sources together into one table, or how to normalize data, what to do if data are changing, what to do if like the codes of certain classifications are changing over the years, and what to do. So this huge part deals with this. Then you have analytical modeling of the data. Prepare the data in a way so the business people, I'm coming from the business world, so the business people or journalists see the data and how they see the world. Because still, if you get the data from the sources, it doesn't necessarily have to reflect how the world looks like. It's just random bunches of data sets here and there, and well, the world doesn't look like that, but the data is in there. So this part is how to model it so you can understand it, so you can ask questions and you will get direct answers from those databases. And yeah, and then you have like the presentation and the bubble charts and all these things. And it's just like, if this is the data processing pipeline, the visualization is this. But what usually people think in an open data space is like, this is the data processing pipeline, and data processing is this. And this is the visualization. It has to be nice and beautiful. But people do not even know what they are visualizing. And it's like, I don't know, it's just like crap in, crap out, and some nice charts. So, and now, when we're going to talk about coders, what kind of coder I need? What do I need? Do I need someone who is going to extract the data? Do I need someone who is going to, like, to clean the data, integrate it from multiple sources, because I already have the data extracted, or I do not need to do extraction? Or I need a front-end developer who is going to create me this beautiful reporting website. And usually, you can find a person who can do this part or this part. And expecting from some like front-end developer to do this, you might find a person here, but it's also like different kind of knowledge. He might learn that, but it's much better to focus like on this person. And these people are usually, not in a business world, in open data world, these people are usually ignored because the output is just tables and numbers. It's nothing beautiful. So we don't need that kind of person. It's just like some nerdy programmer. But these are the people who are actually preparing the data that these people can visualize. So just to put like our discussion in context, what does it mean coder? What does it mean data? What's needed in the whole data processing pipeline? And I don't know if you have any questions regarding this.
Available?
Yeah, this is already available. If you go, if you just search like data processing pipeline and maybe my name, it's on Scribd as a PDF. So you can already find this one. I think I should update it. There should be a couple more boxes just to confuse you.
Maybe some boxes you can actually read.
I mean, it's A3 format if you just print it. This is not like the purpose of this one is not to read it. Yeah, just to see like too many boxes. So yeah, you have like things here like even people, for example, the machine learning. People think like machine learning is the huge part of data processing. And this is like the core of my data analysis is machine learning, and any data scientists or well, it's kind of like it's data analyst. But machine learning is just like one box here in the data modeling. And to be able to do machine learning, you have to have the data cleaned and transform, and already in like one nice table, you cannot have like 30 data sets. You have to have it in one table, denormalized, and then you can do machine learning. And when companies are doing the big projects for machine learning or predictive modeling, things like that, concerning time, it might be like 3 months worth of work, an actual modeling, the training of the machine learning model, it's maybe just like 2 weeks of that time, maybe 1 week, 2 weeks. The rest of it is just data preparation, to prepare the data, to find out if the data reflect the business as we see it and then the model. So the question is like, what kind of people I need for my data project?
I also think that it's overlooked because I don't think journalists realize the value in that stage. It can save so much time. It can speed up the reporting process so much if you have cleaned the data, if you've planned ahead in that sense. Otherwise, I just did a project for a national newspaper which took 6 weeks of manual chasing up of particular information. And if they'd requested that data and cleaned that data to begin with, it would have taken 1 day to use an API to basically gather that information.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I mean, we had this offshore leaks project, a project with ICAJ, which was a bunch of data unstructured sent to one person at ICAJ, and then the team was built around that data that started to work internationally. And from the moment, I think it was January when I've seen the data first, till the moment the data was actually organized and cleaned in a decent way, it took like a year. And during that year, the few journalists were getting on board on the project, because at the end you had like 120 journalists working on the same data set or parts of the data set. But during that year, we actually spent exactly what you said, the 6 weeks, we were just working manually with the data, trying to find patterns, trying to figure out a way to understand the data, and just doing searches by names, basically, which was a shame. I mean, it was really a lost year for the journalists. We could have started the work after the data was organized and cleaned.
You said you had problems with with the coders, and I would like to know what kind of problems you've experienced. And
well, for instance, I've been working on stories about doctors in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
How old are they and where are they placed? Because there's a growing problem that a lot of doctors are living in the outskirts, or they don't want to have, they run their businesses in the outskirts of the country, so there's a lot of areas now where you'll have like 50 miles to the door, or that I'm exaggerating, but you'll have like 10 miles to the nearest doctor you want to go. So that's sort of growing problem. So I want to have a map of Denmark, putting in all the numbers of the doctors, all the businesses, so you can make a map and see how concentrated the businesses are and where there's a lack of doctors and where the doctors mm-hmm. are getting older and older, so that there's probably not going to be a doctor in this little town and so on. But then during that process, I worked with some of the coders, and they should, give me the data because I'm not a coder, so I couldn't. In that process, I've found very often that as a journalist, I have my mindset on looking for angles and stories and so on, and the coders, they just want to, clean that and do more, all sorts of that stuff. And then at the end of this process, after having done several stories, I started to look into data myself and start to do some work in Excel and so on. And then I found out, wow, there's some stories here. Well, why haven't the coders seen these stories and so on? And of course, that's not their job, but it's very often that you're talking different languages. You have your mindsets different directions.
Yeah. So it's something that might be a problem, but it's kind of like the nature of the things. Mm. Like water is wet,
yeah.
So they speak different languages,
yeah.
And it's going to be like that.
Yeah.
So, and why they were not able to see the story? Because they do not understand your domain, and they will have to have your knowledge of your domain. They see just the numbers, and they do not see the big picture. And you do not see numbers there, you see the big picture. And this is why the most important part of every data project is the communication between coders and people needing the data. When data projects fail, it's never technical problem. It's almost never. It's just like, if it is, it's hardware problem. It's not a software problem, like software wrongly developed. And if it is something like wrong with the data, wrong with the numbers, it's always problem of communication between people needing the data and people implementing the data. Because I have a coder, he will do anything you want. He will program, maybe it will be like a little bit slower, it will be not like that nice, but it will be what you need. And thing is that usually people like decision makers in business, they have their own model of the world. They are experts in their domain. And when they're trying to explain that to the coders, they expect the coders to understand what they know because it's so obvious. It's so obvious that business works like this. It's so obvious. I mean, how you don't know that? It's obvious. Well, they have different world. They sometimes they do not even care. Right, they have different problems, different knowledge, and it's important in this communication to explain even the obvious, and to not only to explain, but to make sure that the other side understands it the way how you understand it. So also like get a feedback from the coder, like now explain this to me back in your words. And if this happens, then you might expect like better results from the data projects. So, and now we are going to the, like, should the journalist learn to code, or should the like programmers? Always should be some knowledge on both sides. So either like journalists or decision makers, or like anyone who wants data should understand what it takes to have the data. What it takes, like, this has to be done, right? And it should at least learn the basic, like, terminology to understand those coders. And this is, like, the first step to on the generalist side or on the decision-maker side, just to learn a little bit of the knowledge of those guys and the ways how they are thinking. They might be thinking, like, in different ways. It's not their fault and it's not bad. Many people see that as a bad. How can I think this way? Because it should be like this. No, that's the way how he thinks. So just to, like, accept that he thinks differently and try to, like, explain it and get a feedback if you get it correctly and learn a little bit of his language. And the coders should also, like, learn a little bit of your domain, so you should, like, explain your domain to the coder or to some more technical person. It doesn't have to be necessarily a coder, but someone who knows a little bit of programming, like, who knows more programming than you do, right? So it doesn't have to be, like, a professional someone. So this part, like, you have to fill the gap between those two. And if you fill it, I mean, the project will be finished successfully. So, I mean, that's the thing. And if you should learn to code or not, I think you should learn the basics. Because when you learn the basics of coding, it's like you have to learn the basics of algebra in elementary school. And to learn coding is something similar. It's even if you are not going to code, if you're not going to be coder, if you will never write the line of code in the future, but when you learn the coding, you learn the language of the people you are going to talk to. And you learn the ways how they are thinking. Because when you're trying to create this program, you see, oh, it's a little bit, like, different how I see the problem is being solved. And I'll give you an example. I was working on one project, data project, and the guy who was responsible for communication with me from some NGO, and it was one open data project, and we tried to clean up the data. I tried to explain to him that you cannot have, like, 100% clean data. It's almost impossible. And in the open data world, if you have 85% of completeness of data, you are happy. In scraped data. And we are trying to clean up, I think it was the names of people and names of companies and IDs of companies, something like that, right? And we are trying to figure out an algorithm how to do, like, the matching, like, this person is this person, this person is that person. And I told this guy, hey, we cannot have, like, this perfect matching. We cannot have it on, like, 100% perfect. And his reaction was, oh, okay, if we cannot have it, like, with 100%, can we have it just, like, the computer will say that it matches, like, for 90 or 80%? And then I realized, like, his understanding of computers is completely different. Because he thought that computers think as we think. And they solve the problems the same way as we do. And another example was, like, I don't know how you guys will be able to compute that. It's so many data, it's so many numbers. Is it possible? Well, that's what computers were designed for, to crunch too many numbers, and because we cannot do that. We cannot just count all those lines. So it was like completely opposite view of computer. He thought that computer thinks like him. He thinks that for computer it's difficult to count huge data sets, and for computer it's easy to do the fuzzy matching. And actually, fuzzy matching is one of the most difficult problems. The cleaning of the names is difficult problems. You have to have, like, special algorithms. You have to use machine learning to be able to do that. That this name is like this name for 90%. Probability. You have to use special algorithms to do that. But the brains can do that because this is what we do. What we do every second, every moment is we just do these things. And computers can compute. So the problem, this is a classical example of the biggest problem, that it's not understanding what computers can do.